You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, folks. How's your irrational exuberance in this tough economy? What are those illogical purchases you just can't stop yourself from making? You may be keeping the economy going. Is it your $4 latte, impulse toys for the kids, flat screen TVs because they're on sale? We're talking today about your irrational exuberance personally. Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I like that. Personal irrational exuberance. For Monday morning, not bad, John Hockenberry.
Thank you.
For many, it was really a tremendous year for women in politics. Senator Hillary Clinton raised more money, got more votes than any woman in history towards the Democratic presidential nomination. And Governor Sarah Palin was the first to run as a vice presidential candidate on the Republican side. But some wonder, if you look deeper, if the race actually didn't stir up and reinforce gender stereotypes. Joining us now is Amanda Fortini, a writer for New York Magazine, and she's got her take on modern-day gender equality. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
And Marcus Mabry, the international business editor from The New York Times, is still with us, so welcome.
Thank you.
Can you explain, Amanda, your basic premise of the article you wrote?
Sure. The basic premise, I mean, I guess it's pretty simple, that, you know, the campaign, the election season sort of brought to the fore these pernicious stereotypes that, you know, we tend to hold about women. They tend to be a sort of duality. You've got the kind of hard-nosed, hard-working, you know, bitch, for lack of a better word, on the one side, and then the sort of ditzy airhead type on the other, and that that this election reinforced those. I mean, that was basically the premise of the article.
And how do you measure that? Is it a question of how the press covers them, or is it a question of how the voters or Americans view them?
Well, I think in terms of Hillary, we saw, pardon me, we saw a lot of this with the press coverage. You know, it was quite sexist, and a lot of people have commented on it. You know, Chris Matthews calling her the grieving widow of absurdity and various things like that. But I think we also saw it among voters on the internet. For instance, there was a Facebook page, you know, saying, stop running for president and make me a sandwich, or the people yelling, iron my shirts. I mean, I think we saw it kind of across the board.
But having said that, when you take a look at what Senator Clinton accomplished, 18 million votes, she raised tens of millions of dollars, and she was the first woman who was expected at the very onset of the primary process to actually take the nomination.
Yes, I mean, it's not none of this is to take away from her accomplishments, which were extraordinary. It's just to point out how difficult it is even to sidestep, you know, these roles that women are so, you know, sort of funneled into, basically.
And so how should these things be addressed?
Well, I think for one, you know, one of the arguments that I made in the article is that the most sort of pernicious thing was that Sarah Palin put herself forward, you know, when she was not really qualified for the position. So I think that would be one thing, is that perhaps she should have, you know, considered that before she accepted the nomination. And also, I think...
But wait a second, though, Amanda, just to ask you about that. But isn't
sure.
that part of what modern-day equality is about, that that there's equal opportunity for men or women to choose to embark on whatever journey in their career that's open to them if they choose to?
Sure, she could choose to, but I think before you accept a position, you should examine whether or not you have the qualifications and experience to fulfill that position.
Well, you know, we can embellish our resumes all we want. When it's done in public, it's a whole different thing, and you get on Saturday Night Live doing it, that's for sure. Amanda, do you think that there's a process here whereby these gender stereotypes are being purged from the American psyche rather than reinforced, that somehow the circulation of these characters in this election in such a high-profile way means that we won't return to them in the same way in an election of the future?
Well, I hope that we don't, and I hope that they are being purged, and I think that they are, and I think that, you know, the recent appointment of Clinton to Secretary of State is going to go a long way toward that, and, you know, I think being aware of them and speaking out against them is one step toward purging them. I don't think just addressing them, saying that they exist, is reinforcing them, which is what some people have said, but merely to sort of utter them reinforces these stereotypes.
And Marcus, Amanda makes the point, and I would actually agree with her, that there was certainly a tone of sexism in the way that we in the press covered Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton.
I think it's true. I think it's interesting. One of the things that we hear a lot about when we speak about Obama and his campaign is we talk about the fact that, you know, he's gotten this historic level because he ran a campaign that was, as we've often used the phrase, and it was the title of my book about Condi Rice, twice as good. He ran a campaign that was twice as good, despite everything is on his side about this campaign, the president's disapproval of the economy. At the same time, he was still a black candidate. And so he actually raised more money than anyone in history. He had a more disciplined campaign than anyone in history. Extraordinary for a Democrat, a better get out the vote and ground campaign than anyone in history. Really extraordinary stuff. I think we're seeing the same thing from the female side. I think women in the professional world in many parts of life are used to this. They, too, have to be twice as good. And so I think Hillary's campaign wasn't twice as good, and I think that's one of the reasons she's not here. But in order to overcome all that inherent
It was twice sexism, as good as Kucinich's.
But I was going to say, but that's a whole other segment, but we could certainly debate that point.
But the question I wonder about for Amanda—
About her campaign, that is.
Sure. Amanda, I wonder, do you think Hillary will face a lot of these same kind of sexist underlying questions as Secretary of State?
You know, I'm sure she probably will face them. I mean, they're hard to avoid. But I think that the more that we see women out there, you know, in powerful positions, in high-level positions, doing the job well, I mean, it's harder to stereotype mm-hmm. people when you see them in more nuance and full color, you know. So I think that seeing a lot of her, seeing her do her job will do much to...
Amanda Fortini, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Amanda Fortini is a writer for New York Magazine. And Marcus Mabry, thanks for being with us as always.
That's a pleasure.
Marcus is the international business editor for the New York Times. And now we turn to Femi Oke, who's got headlines for us.
Thank you very much. Good morning. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. President-elect Barack Obama is expected to announce his economic team today. Former New York Fed chief Timothy Geithner is expected to be the new Treasury Secretary, while former Clinton aide Larry Summers is likely to be a chief economic advisor, and they're both emphasizing the urgent need for a stimulus package. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown unveils a major stimulus package for the UK later today. It could cost up to $13 billion. It's expected to be a combination of new spending and a cut in the sales tax. And an update on the housing market is out today. The National Association of Realtors is expected to report existing home sales declined last month. Tomorrow, the Conference Board reports on consumer confidence and there's a revision due on the third quarter GDP. That's a quick look at some major headlines making news this morning.
Thank you,
Thanks, Femi.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.